Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Never Have I Ever, where we learn of the outrageous thing Shauna's kids won't let her do. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's episode 174. Hello, Shauna.
Hello.
So let's get right to it. I want to know what's going on with you guys this week and how are those girls?
Oh, they're good. They're good. It was a week.
Oh, okay. I'm strapping in. I'm all buckled up. Okay. Tell me about your week with a capital W.
Yes. I got a call the other day from Elle's school and I missed it. And I was like, oh no. So I called back right away. And they're like, oh, I think it's the nurse's office. I'm like, okay. Of course, in these times, I'm like, oh no, she has symptoms of COVID. Uh-huh. You know, we're going to have to quarantine, blah, blah, blah. That's what I was thinking. And I get on the phone with a nurse and she's like, well, from what I gather, Elle was playing during recess and was pretending to be a dog.
You're like, that tracks.
Okay, this tracks. Yeah, okay.
Think you've got the right kid. All right.
And somehow fell into the wall and has a laceration on her head. Mm. And I think you need to come get her and possibly take her to the ER or urgent care. I'm like, oh my God, no, really? Oh, poor thing. And so I'm all worried. Like, I drop everything and I go to her school and the nurse brings her out. And Elle is like, totally in good spirits. Like, she doesn't look like she just sustained a massive head injury. So that's good. She's a tough cookie. And then the nurse was like, okay, let me show you where the injury is. I kept looking through her hair, her beautiful, luscious hair. You know, everyone has a comment on her beautiful, luscious hair. I'm like, okay, show me the laceration. And she like pulls it up and it wasn't huge. Thank God. It was, I don't know, maybe like a centimeter or 2 centimeters, but an open wound, right? It had like bled under her shirt and her mask and all this stuff. And the nurse was like, I recommend you trying to go somewhere to get it closed. And so I'm like, okay, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do at first. Like, we called her pediatrician's office and they recommended going to the ER. I guess that's just kind of protocol, what they have to do if someone calls in with a head injury. And I was like, I don't think it's that severe. Like, she doesn't seem to have signs of concussion. She's pretty with it and it's a small wound. So
yeah,
we went to the pediatric urgent care that we really like. We go to them all the time whenever we have an urgent need.
You got the frequent visitor punch card. You can almost have a free visit.
Yeah, we're up to our 12. We're about to get our 13th visit free. So we get there and they don't put us into a regular exam room. They put us into a operating room of sorts. Like, I guess if any wounds need to be healed, there's, I don't know. It was just like a very big, very intimidating room to put us in. And we waited forever, probably like 2 hours to finally get seen.
Oh my God.
I know. It was crazy.
That's a long time with a little kid.
Yeah. I was so grateful that she was in good spirits and not like actually too, you know, affected by the head wound. So we were just trying to pass the time with playing like I Spy Something Pink, you know, playing games and stuff. And it was actually really nice to have one-on-one time with her in this weird, twisted way. Like, I have to go to urgent care with my injured daughter in order to get one-on-one time with her and realize how important that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get it. It's like you are so distracted by having two kids and you can never really just focus on the one until you're forced to by circumstance. Yeah.
So we actually had like a good bonding time, like waiting for the doctor and everything. And at one point the nurse came in. He's like, okay, I'm going to put some lidocaine on your head to numb it up because, you know, the doctor's going to need to clean it and look at it. And he puts this stuff on and wraps her little head with like a bandage. She looks so sad. Here, let me show you a picture.
Oh, I want to see.
Okay, I'm sending this over. She's very insecure about this. She was very like embarrassed and stuff to have people see her like this. But I'm going to show it to you because you're her auntie.
Oh, little sweetie. Okay, so she, first of all, she looks adorable. She's in her little like bunny rabbit shirt, and then she's got her space mask on, and then around her head, I mean, it's almost like what you see in like a bad TV movie. It just is like, oh, just gauze wrapped around her head.
I know.
Oh, she looks adorable. She has such a sweet little face. Oh, sweetheart.
Oh. Yeah, she did such a good job at this appointment. The doctor finally came in and she was just so like well composed and mature talking to the doctor. The doctor was like, so did you lose consciousness when you hit your head? And she's like, I know what that means. That means pass out. And she's like, wow, very good. And she was very curious about all the doctor's equipment and wanted to listen to her own heart. And it was just really cute and sweet how she interacted with the doctor. And I could tell she was being very brave. And the doctor's like, okay. And the doctor inspected the wound and was like, okay, I think the best way to close this. And she's like talking to me over Elle's head. Mm-hmm. And she like spells out the word staples.
Oh.
She's like, I think we need to do staples instead of stiches. I'm like, I think Elle can handle those words, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of other 5-year-olds can't. So I understood why she was doing that. So, you know how I am. I'm trying to be very wry with my kids. So I was just like, okay, Elle, they're going to clean your wound and then she's going to give you some medical staples in your head. And I thought she would freak out. I was really worried, but she was like, oh, cool. And was like pretty into the idea. So that was good news. But yeah, so we put her on the exam table and they cleaned her wound and she was very brave and held my hand. And they gave her 3 staples to close her head wound. I know. And she just had to basically take it easy for the rest of the week. But she was able to go back to school the next day and everything. And it's healing up now. So far, so good.
Oh, good. I'm trying to remember how many staples I had with my C-section. I feel like it was like 9 or something. So 3 is a lot.
Yeah, I know. I told Ella, like, I've had staples before. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, after you were born. So yeah, we've been there.
So when did the staples come out?
They'll come out a week, like 7 to 10 days after. So I think probably just going to go to her regular pediatrician to get those taken out instead of the urgent care.
That makes sense. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that sounds stressful, but it sounds like she's a total champ and handled it really well.
Yeah, she's a total champ. I'm really proud of her. But God, it's so stressful to get a call from the nurse's office at your kid's school. It's just like, what? But it also kind of tracks with her. Like in preschool, she had so many injury reports. Like she had more Band-Aids than any other kid. She's just really rough. She's very intense. Like the way she plays is intense. And so I'm really not surprised that she has gotten an injury within like the first 5 weeks of school. And the fact that she's doing it playing dogs. I was just like, oh my God. I thought like the dog stuff would end, you know, once she got into school. No, apparently she's gotten all her classmates to join her in playing dogs. They were all running around playing dogs.
Oh my gosh. She's an influencer.
She's such an influencer. I was like, well, there goes my hope of like the dog phase passing. Oh, well. Oh, my goodness. But all is well. And then the other stuff that happened this week, I'm going to talk about later in the show. So,
okay.
Hold on tight for that. But otherwise, that's pretty much it for us. Cece's fine. She was very sympathetic of her big sister and she's all good.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So what about you? What's your check-in for the week?
Well, I had a week too.
Oh, okay.
With a capital W.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a capital E, E, and K as well.
Oh, no.
Well, okay. So it wasn't like injury reports or anything, but this week I took a trip to Fresno.
Oh, right. Without Corey and without Augie. You mentioned you were going to do that.
Yes. Yeah. So I told you that this was in the works and it happened this week. So So my dad's been really sick and I've been wanting to go back up to Fresno to see him. He has a chronic and a progressive disease. So he's not going to be getting better. And he's in a home now. And it's, you know, it's really sad and really hard. Mm-hmm. And with COVID, it was really, really hard because we really couldn't visit him that much. But now that everyone's vaccinated and the numbers are going back down again, like we can actually go visit. Mm-hmm. But I have 2 young kids and it's fucking hard. And I know I reported what was that, a couple months ago, about my trip up to Fresno with Augie and Sebastian and my mom. And that trip, like, broke me, Shauna. Like, I mean, it was a hard trip emotionally, obviously, because I'm seeing my dad who's really sick. And it was just so hard to travel with both kids and without Corey, because Corey had to work. And my mom, you know, was very, very generous and flew down and drove with us and stayed with us. But it's not the same, right? It's not the same. So this time I was trying to figure out a time to go visit my dad. And I just kept getting stuck on, like, how am I going to do this with both kids? And even if Corey can come, like, oh, it's still such a nightmare. Like, it's still so, so hard to travel with two really little kids. You know, Augie's 2.5 and the baby is 7 months, right? So it's like, it's just a lot. And now the baby's more mobile and that makes it even harder. So a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to my brother and he mentioned he was going to come out for 3 days this week. And it occurred to me that maybe I could come just with Sebastian. Like, one of the things that is so glaringly obvious to me now that I have two kids is, like, how easy having one kid is. I'm sorry. No, wait. I don't want to say, like, it's easy for people who have one kid, because it's not. Like, when I had one kid, when I had just Augie, it was hard. But, like, when you're used to taking care of two of them, and especially a toddler, going back to just one solo baby seems so much easier, like, in comparison.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I could totally handle Sebastian by myself for a couple days. Like, that is no problem. Also, he's, like, a pretty chill baby. So anyway, one baby easy, one toddler, one baby infinitely hard. So my mom decided to come down. She was going to drive up with me and Sebastian. Corey and Augie were going to stay in LA. And then my mom was going to, like, stay in Fresno and I would drive home with the baby by myself.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I can do this. This is fine, right? And so anyway, those were the logistics that we decided on. And I was, like, dead set on this. I was like, okay, this is going to be great. Corey's going to have, like, one-on-one time with Augie, which is going to be awesome. Like, he'll be able to get some quality time. Like you said, sometimes it's really special to just have one-on-one time.
Right.
And he'll still be able to go to school. I didn't want to disrupt that because, you know, it's been such a process getting him used to going to school. And then I'll go up with the baby and I'll get some alone time with the baby. Like, that's something I don't get a lot of. So I thought this was great. My mom almost ruined all the plans because...
What? Oh, no.
Well, the morning we were leaving, we decided to leave Monday morning. We'd leave Monday morning and get back Wednesday night, right? And so there would only be two nights away, and I figured that was doable. My mom, as we're, like, packing up the car, trying to get out the door, Augie's obviously having some big feelings about it, right? He's like, Mommy, why are you leaving? Mommy, don't go, and all this stuff, right? And my mom, in front of Augie, is like, maybe he should come with us. He should come with us.
No!
Yes! Like, and I'm like, Mom, and she's like, we could totally bring him. Why do you think we can't bring him? I'm like, we don't have any, like, the whole car is packed. We'd have to bring all this other stuff. Where would he sleep? Like, I'm, like, trying to tell her this stuff. And she's like, but look how sad he is.
Oh, my God.
And I was finally like, Mom, drop it. Like, I, like, got really, like, stern with her. I was like, drop it. It's not happening. And she got, like, like, she, like, kind of stepped back and she was like, okay, okay, I got it. And then in the car later, I had to be like, you know, I apologize for raising my voice at you, but you bringing that up in front of Augie was not helpful at that moment. It was making it worse. And I really needed to just do it the way we had planned. And she said she understood. And, you know, she was like, this is why you never went to preschool, because I could never handle your meltdowns. I was too, I thought you were too sad. So I just gave in and kept you home. And then at the end of the trip, she was like, oh, yeah, this would have been way too hard with Augie here. I'm like, yeah, think.
Also, you have lived through it before, like a couple months earlier. She should know.
Well, although she was on, she was like, oh, I'm just going to go into the office for work and, like, leave you all day.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
So she didn't see all those things. But anyway, the summary of the trip is that it was nice to see my dad because there was only one baby with us. I got to, like, leave him with my mom and go visit him by myself. And then we got to bring the baby and he got to see the baby, which was really sweet. And we got pictures with him and the baby and he got to hold Sebastian and all that stuff. So that was really good. I'm really glad we went. And, you know, the drive home was actually like super easy. I actually do have a little anecdote from that I'll talk about in our special segment. But as far as like the actual drive, Sebastian, he's like, you know how I am always like, he's such an easy baby. Like, he's such an easy baby, Shauna. He like fell asleep in the car, woke up about halfway, started getting fussy. So we stopped at a park and nursed. And then we got back on the road. He fell asleep again. Like, he did not cry the whole 3.5 hours of driving.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I know. He was a real trooper. So, yeah, it was a good trip, but it was almost completely derailed because it would have been too much with the toddler. So, yes.
And then you would have felt like resentful that your plan didn't come to fruition and it would have just been a thing. So I'm glad that you stood your ground and held your boundary.
Thank you.
Very important to do, especially as a mom.
Yeah.
Especially in the face of a crying toddler. That's hard, you know? But yeah, it was important. So good for you.
Well, you know, I have Janet Lansbury and Dr. Becky to thank for that, because I feel like my default would be to like smooth over the hard emotions, you know, like, oh my gosh, he is really sad about me leaving. Like, I should just make him feel better and take him with us or whatever. Which is kind of where my mom comes from, right? Like, just make them feel better. But I was like, nope. Hard feelings are part of life, you know?
Right.
He's going to have to learn how to separate from me a little bit. I forgot to mention that this was the first time that I had been away from him other than giving birth to Sebastian.
Oh, right. So that is a big deal.
Yeah. We spent 2 nights in the hospital, you know, the first night giving birth, second night recovering, and that's it. And that's the only other time I had like spent a night away from him. So, you know, that's why it was kind of a big deal. But it also like needs to happen eventually, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm sure he was fine. He probably had a good time with daddy and he went to school and everything was okay.
He did. He apparently was fine once I left. You know, like I left, he was a little sad and then he was fine. And our nanny Eliza was here too, right? So she was here to help Corey because he had a big meeting he was preparing for that ended up getting canceled, so he could have come in the end, but like it got canceled day of. But you know, he had people who he loved around him and he went to school, and Corey was like, he's fine. I FaceTimed with him a couple times and he like, you know, he was like, hi mommy, and then he would like start speaking in gibberish, which is what he does when he doesn't want to talk on the phone. He pretends he can't speak English.
That's like, so, my girls, of course, they start meowing and like barking and being really weird.
Yeah, be super weird, total weirdos. Yeah. But so yeah, it ended up being fine and it was a good trip and I'm glad I got to go and see my dad. Good. So yeah, that is it for my check-in this week.
All right, let's move on to our special segment.
Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Alo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Alo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Alo Moves has to offer, visit alomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Alo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's alomoves.com, code BFP. alomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and our special segment this week is Never Have I Ever, Parenting Edition, where we admit the things that we never in our life have done or would have thought we would have done until we had kids.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, you're up first. What's your Never Have I Ever?
Never have I ever become a human shield.
Whoa. Uh-oh. What is going on here?
Oh, boy. All right. So this is the anecdote about our drive home that I teased in my check-in. So I said we had an uneventful drive home. The actual driving part was uneventful, but when we stopped to take a break, there was a bit of an incident or a potential incident. So Sebastian was getting fussy around Bakersfield. If you know anything about California, we were driving from Fresno, which is right in the middle, to LA, which is like down south. And right smack in the middle of that drive is Bakersfield, which is a city. And like, I don't know much about it. It's like the southernmost big city in the Central Valley. And I didn't really know where to stop. So I knew that I wanted to like find a little bit of like open space for him to crawl around. And so I was looking for a park on my GPS, and I pulled off the highway and drove around a little bit until I found a park. And when I pulled up, it was actually like a really big open grassy park with a big play structure where there were like families playing on it. And I thought, oh, perfect. Okay, this is a good place to stop. So I got out of the car and I put down some blankets and I let Sebastian do his little like army crawl around to like get his blood moving and stretch his legs and stuff. And we were there for maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes or so. So after about 20 minutes, I decided it was time to nurse him and then get back in the car and keep driving home, right? So I found a park bench And it was right next to a big baseball diamond, you know, little league field in the park. And I wasn't thinking anything of it. I just sat down with my back to the baseball diamond and I nurse him. He nurses for about 10 minutes. And just as I'm like taking him off the boob to burp him, I hear a woman yelling, "Get back, get back." Oh. And I turn my head and I see two giant Rottweilers bounding
what?
Towards us.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And this is when I turned into a human shield because I knew I shouldn't and couldn't run away. Right. They were very close, but I knew that I couldn't just sit there and let them come up to me. So I just, and I don't even like actually remember doing this. All I remember is that I turn and see the Rottweilers. And next thing I know, I am standing with my back, like I'm curled around Sebastian and I have him like balled up in my chest. And I'm trying to like cover him as much as possible while standing still with my back to these dogs.
Oh my God.
And I was terrified. Like, legitimately terrified. Meanwhile, I hear this woman, she's probably like in her 60s, and she's yelling at the dogs. The get back was for the dogs. And then she's yelling, "They're friendly. They're really friendly."
Oh my God.
I'm just thinking like, I'm not trusting you about this. Like, how am I supposed to know? Like, the backstory is that I was once attacked by a dog on a road trip, actually. I just literally put that together right now. Like, I didn't realize that I had that connection until I was talking about it right now. But I was on a long road trip and stopped at my ex-boyfriend's uncle's house and got attacked by their dog and had to, like, go to the ER and stuff. And so I have this trauma in my past, but I think that any reasonable person, I think even a dog person, would see two full-grown Rottweilers running towards them and would probably have a similar reaction, right? Like, ooh, danger, danger.
Yes. Those are huge dogs. They're scary. Huge dogs. They're known for being an aggressive breed. I know they aren't all aggressive if they have a good owner and have been trained, but just seeing it and going on a gut instinct, I would have done the same thing, or I might have just started screaming and crying and running. I don't know, but that would terrify the crap out of me.
Yeah. And it was like an extra level, like extra sprinkles of intensity because of having the baby with me, you know, because I wasn't actually even that concerned about my own safety. I was like instantly into like protect the baby mode. Which, to be honest, like kind of made me happy because I was like, I have the maternal instinct. I want to protect my offspring, you know, not just like.
You didn't drop the baby and run. That's good.
Oh my God. Can you? That makes me so sad just thinking about. But like, yeah,
I didn't throw
the baby to the dogs. Here, take it.
Yeah,
save yourself. Geez. Oh my God. No. I was like, it just triggered that like instinctual thing, like I will die for the baby type thing.
Yeah.
And then the dogs went running after some like ground squirrels. This park was just covered in ground squirrels. They were everywhere. And so the dogs went running after them. And yeah, they didn't attack the ground squirrels. They didn't attack us. I'm grateful that the woman was not lying, that they were friendly. I didn't like go over to them and pet them after that.
Yeah.
In fact, I stood in that like curled up protect the baby position until I saw that those dogs were back on leash. And the reason it happened was these people, I saw that they had like an RV and they were probably just trying to exercise their dogs. And they probably thought that the diamond was like completely enclosed. And they didn't realize that the baseball diamond had like an open gate that the dogs went out of. But also like, fuck, man, that was scary as shit. So
yes,
they got the dogs on leash. And then I like slow. And she was like, "I'm sorry." I couldn't even talk to her. I was so freaked out and mad. I just like didn't make eye contact, just like walked back to my car and just started sobbing. Like uncontrollably sobbing. Meanwhile, Sebastian's looking at me like, "What's going on, mama?"
Yeah, he has done that. Eyes. He doesn't have a clue.
No. Oh, I'm like kissing him. I'm like, "Oh my God, I thought I was so worried. I was so scared." And it just being alone and vulnerable with your baby is so terrifying. It's just like a new level. Before you have kids, it's like very hard to understand that level of like how vulnerable you feel because you have this other being to protect now that's like your sworn duty, you know, like it's very important. And, you know, it was just really highlighted there. So
I remember after having Elle, I lived in North Hollywood, which is a very walkable area. Like there were parks and restaurants and all kinds of stuff nearby. So we often went walking, and never in my life did I realize how dangerous it was to walk and like how terrible drivers were. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but just like as soon as I had a baby in a stroller, I just felt like so vulnerable out on the street. Like any car could just hit us at any time. So many cars almost did because they're not paying attention. It like shocked me how close we came to injury and death, you know, and it never had even occurred to me before walking around in the city until I had a baby, and that just heightened everything.
And they say that it's like a permanent change in our brains that happens. I learned a lot in that book, Mom Genes, that I had talked about a few episodes back. But yeah, yeah. Anyway, that was my never have I ever.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. That's really good. Yeah, you did the right thing. You protected your baby. Yes. I'm just so sorry that happened to you.
Thank you. We drove off, went to a Starbucks. I treated myself to a pumpkin scone.
As you should.
Yeah. And then drove home, and it was uneventful on the drive home. So
good.
Yes. But people, if you have big dogs or little dogs, like leashes, please, unless you're in a dog park, like please. Okay. All right. Shauna, do you have a never have I ever for us?
Yes. Never have I ever gotten in trouble for blowing kisses.
Ooh. Who's the blowing kisses police?
I'll give you one guess.
I have two guesses. Is it Steve? Okay.
That would be very hilarious. No, it's not Steve.
I'm going to guess Cece. Was it Cece or Elle?
Yes, it's okay, Cece. It's Cece. This has been going on for a long time. For some reason, she has decided that she is the only person that's allowed to blow kisses. It just mostly happens at bedtime. Gosh, it's been happening ever since like she was in her crib and everything. We put her down. And when I would put Elle down, even still sometimes as I leave her room, I'll blow kisses and be like, good night, and close the door slowly and keep blowing kisses. And it's cute and sweet and she loves it. No, not with Cece. And Steve is the same way. Both of us get utterly shamed for blowing kisses. So she blows them to us. Okay. And if you blow a kiss back to her, she goes, no, and has a full-on tantrum meltdown. She screams and cries, and you have to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I forgot. I blew you a kiss.
Okay, so am I an asshole because I want to like intentionally do this next time I see her and feign ignorance so I can see this reaction?
Go for it. You're welcome to, but she'll probably just be very confused as to why someone else is trying to blow her kisses. I don't know. Maybe she will get pissed. So we have learned that as we say goodnight and exit her room and slowly close the door and say goodnight, she is allowed to blow us kisses as many as she wants. Sometimes she counts them. She's like, tonight it's one kiss. Sometimes it's five. Mm-hmm. But I just have to stand there and stare at her while she does it. And I'm so awkward doing that now what I do is I just like hold my heart and I go, oh, I love your kisses. Oh, I just love them. Thank you so much. Okay, good night. And I close the door and then she's fine with that.
Are you allowed to catch them?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll try catching them.
You should try catching them. Yeah. Gives you something to do.
Yeah, it'll give me something to do with my awkward body as I leave her room. I'll try that and we'll see. Although I'm scared to like piss her off because you know how she is. She's like fiery, man. Once like something sets her off, it's like, oh, God, no. Like, bedtime's ruined. Ah. So I follow these rules very strictly.
Oh, I get it. They are very opinionated, these little 2.5-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
They have ideas of how things should be done. And if they don't get done the way they expect it, it can trigger like full meltdowns.
Full meltdowns. And it happens a lot with Cece. And I don't even know what she was expecting and what I was supposed to do. I mean, I'm talking mm-hmm. outside of the bedroom and blowing kisses, like just in the middle of the day. She'll be like, mm-hmm. Mama, go, I'm going potty. You come with me. I'm like, okay. And I'll go in there and like turn on the light. And she'll be like, ah! And I'm like, what? What did I do? What did I do? I just don't even know. Like, she didn't expect me to turn on the light. I don't know. But yeah, you're right about that.
It reminds me of the sliced cheese thing, right? Like, I discovered his need for sliced cheese because I, you know, very offensively tried to give him cubed cheese at some point.
Oh, yes.
And like, I mean, the meltdown. Like, no, I want sliced cheese. It's like, okay. It's like trying to tell him, like, it's the same cheese. No, that will not do. And it's like, I wonder what it is in his little brain that makes him need that sliced cheese as opposed to the other shaped cheese.
Yeah. I don't know. But they are pretty rigid in their ways mm-hmm. quite often. Maybe it just helps them have a secure sense of the world to have, you know, what they're expecting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Or some kind of control, because they have such little control over mm-hmm. the world, right? And what happens in their day that they latch onto anything they can control.
Absolutely.
I am glad to hear, though, that she does weird stuff like that, because like I've had moments where I'm like, is this obsessive compulsive disorder? Like, he has to have things like his way or else he has a complete emotional meltdown. But
yeah, no, I think that's just being too.
Okay. I've never had a 2-year-old before. You've been through this.
But I understand why you would think that, because it does seem irrational to our mm-hmm. adult brains. But yeah, that's them just trying to find their place in the world, I think.
Yeah, with their sliced cheese and their blown kisses.
Yep. All right. You have another one for us?
I do.
Okay.
Never have I ever had to explain to the 911 dispatcher that my baby called 911.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, this happened last night. All right. So we've been doing brother baths more often, where the mm-hmm. baby and the toddler get into the bath together. And it's fun. It's great. It definitely like kills two birds with one stone. But we don't have like a seat or anything for Sebastian in the bathtub. And mm-hmm. our bathtub is like, it's annoying because it has a little bit of texture on the bottom that's supposed to be non-slip, but it's still mm-hmm. slippery. But it's non-slip enough that you can't suction an actual non-slip mat to it.
Oh, that's not cool.
Like, listeners, if you have a solution for this, please let me know, because I don't know what to do about this. It's super slippery, and we're always afraid of like Augie slipping and hurting himself. Mm-hmm. And so it's Sebastian, that means that you basically just have to hold him, like hold a limb at any given point, right? Because he, like, his little butt will just like slip out from under him. Mm-hmm. So I was holding an arm and trying to wash him, and you know, it's wet in there. I'd forgot to put my Apple Watch on like swimming mode, which is a mode you can turn it on if there's like a lot of water around that stops buttons from being pushed and whatnot. And he's grabbing at my watch because it's shiny and it's there, and I'm trying to wash his butt and his head and blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. Next thing I know, I look down and my phone is like buzzing and like turning red. And I was like, what the hell? And it was like, emergency contacts activated. And I was like, wait, what? And it's like calling emergency services in 3, 2, 1. And I'm like trying to like tap and turn it off, but it won't react because he's like gotten so much water all over the watch and like probably locked it. So I like can't turn it off. And I'm like, shit. And Corey's like, just take it off. And I'm like, well, no, I can't now. Like, it's actually dialing.
Oh, my God. So it's calling through your watch?
Through my watch. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, I'm trying to keep, like, Sebastian from slipping and drowning. And Augie's like, what's happening? Is there an ambulance? And so they're like, Glendale 911, what's your emergency? I'm like, I'm sorry, there's no emergency. You know, my baby dialed you on my watch, and they're like, okay, so you do not need ambulance or fire services. No, I do not. And they like confirmed 3 times, which is nice. Like, I guess maybe I could see a situation where like maybe they're worried about domestic abuse and they're trying to like make sure really, really don't need services. But I'm just like, no, I really don't. But you need to hang up because I can't hang up. My watch is frozen.
Oh, my God. 21st century problems.
And then it gets worse, Shauna.
Oh, no.
Then it says, alerting your emergency contacts in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, no.
And apparently, when you activate the, like, emergency mode on your Apple Watch, it automatically texts the people who are listed as your emergency contacts to tell them that uh-huh. you've called 911 and need help.
Oh, Jesus. Who's your contact? Corey and, like, your mom?
Corey, my mom, my brother, and Jen. So, like, uh-huh. I go on my phone and have to, like, send them a group text being like, I'm fine. Like, no emergency. Sebastian called 911 on my watch. Like, everything's fine.
Oh, my
fine.
God.
So, wow. Yeah, that was our night last night. It was very entertaining. But
how does one call emergency on the watch? Because I recently got one, and now I'm worried my girls are going to do that, too.
So I think, let's see, I didn't know. This is the other thing. Like, I didn't know how to replicate it. I still don't. But I think what you do is you hold down a button. Okay, yeah. So you hold down, like, this little long side button. I have a Apple Watch version 3. It's a little old. And mm-hmm. there's, like, power off, medical ID, and then there's emergency SOS. And if you slide the emergency SOS over, I think that's what happens.
So he held down a teeny tiny button long enough for that screen yes. to come up, and then he slid yeah. that yeah. button over.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But luckily, I knew better than to, like, hang up on 911. Not that I could have, because my watch was, mm-hmm. like, not working properly. But mm-hmm. I knew that if you... Because didn't this happen to you once? Like, if you hang mm-hmm. up before they pick up, they call you back and they're mad
yes.
at you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I stayed on the line. Because Corey was like, hang up. And I'm like, even if I could, we shouldn't. We just have to tell them we're not actually hurt. So
I wonder how often that happens.
All the time. It must happen. They must hate it. They must hate yeah. Apple Watches. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Or even yeah. phones. Like, there's a way, I'm sure. Because my kids did it, I think. I don't remember clearly. But yeah, using my phone, like, they accidentally called. I don't know. Must happen yeah. a lot.
But thankfully, no emergency vehicle showed up at our door. And, you know, no one in my family was panicked. So.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So do you have another never have I ever for us?
Okay, I have one more.
Should we take a break and then come back with it?
Sure, let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we're back, and Shauna has one more Never Have I Ever for us. Let's hear it.
Never have I ever used a wine closet to store a bounce house. It's like, this is my life.
Hashtag mom life.
Oh, right? Our house has this little wet bar area near the dining room and a walk-in wine closet. I don't have a walk-in clothes closet in this house, but I have a walk-in wine closet.
Wait, behind that nook, there's a walk-in wine closet?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I never knew that. I just knew it as a little bar nook. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't really use it anyway because what am I going to store my $9 Trader Joe's wines in there? I don't buy very many bottles of wine at a time. I like wine, but I'm just not so much a connoisseur that I'm going to use it. But in an ideal world, like, how great would that be? Like, buy fancy wines and store them in a climate-controlled closet. And, oh, that'd be so cool. Well, we realized the other day that our freaking bounce house, it all folded up, has just been kind of living in our living room forever. Mm-hmm. And it's so annoying. It's ugly to look at and everything. And I was like, gosh, I wish we had another place to store it. And Steve's like, what about the garage? I'm like, I don't know. Then like bugs will get in it, you know, spiders or whatever. And then we're like, look at each other, like wine closets. Perfect use.
Wine closet to the rescue.
Yes, finally it's getting use. And, so we just pitched it in there in the big blower compressor thing. It fits perfectly. And that's what I use my fancy grown-up wine closet for now.
I think it's a bounce house closet now.
I think it is. Yeah, it is. But it's nice. It's out of sight. I don't have to look at it in the living room anymore. So it's, you know, kind of a nice use of that square footage of my house.
Well, and that is the big downside. Mainly the only downside of having your own bounce house is like, where do you store it? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we don't own one yet.
Oh, that's why? Okay.
Well, yeah, because someone was selling one on my mom's group and I like was a second away from claiming it. And I was like, no, I don't, like, we have storage, by I don't want to clutter it up. And I'm just like, it's a big thing. Who knows how well it folds down, especially when it's secondhand. Like, so I passed. But yeah, if you have an unused wine closet, why not?
Why not? Or just build yourself a wine closet so you can store your bounce house.
A telecontractor. We're going to build a wine closet and specifically going to be for a children's bounce house, but it must be called a wine closet.
Oh my God. So that's my life. That's my life. Anyway, should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Yeah, I think we should.
We are going to wrap things up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, you're up first. What do you got for us?
I have a BFP.
All right.
Okay, so my BFP is that Sebastian actually turned 8 months right when we got back from Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just turning into such a cutie pie. But specifically, my BFP is that I did the like 8 month photo shoot, which in and of itself was fine. Like, he barely wanted to lie down on the blanket that I use and whatnot, but I got the photo. But my BFP is that after we finished like that photo shoot, we did like a little bit of an extra photo session, as in like I just sat outside with him with my iPhone on portrait mode. And it was one hell of a photo shoot, Shauna.
Oh, I want to see.
Okay. You've already seen, because I sent you about 500 photos from this photo shoot and posted them all over my personal Instagram and stuff. But I'm going to send you some photos as a refresher on this absolute cutie pie.
Oh, yeah. Aw, so sweet.
I have to say portrait mode, maybe that's my BFP, is awesome. Like portrait mode and good lighting.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah, but I couldn't believe these photos. I got, one more. Hold on. There's one more where he's like looking up. He looks like a little Cupid doll because he has like the little tuft of hair where... So the helmet he wears has like a hole at the top, right? And his hair is only growing where that hole is. The rest of it like gets, you know, doesn't grow or gets like broken off really easily. And so he has this like little central tuft of hair just coming out.
Oh,
it looks
gosh.
Like he has a hairstyle.
Yes.
Aww, oh, my
he's
gosh.
So cute. Those pictures are awesome. I love how the light is reflecting in his eyes and he's so smiley.
So smiley. In some of them, you can see the little thigh roll action going on. It's just a very delicious photo shoot in general. Mm-hmm. And so that was my BFP. I got some good photos of my little sweetie.
That's so great. 8 months is such a good age. Oh, my gosh. I think I got some good photos of Cece around that age, too, because they can sit up by themselves. And, you know, they're just, I don't know, they're so cute.
They're so cute. I feel like 6 to 9 months is like prime cute baby time, you know? You just want to eat them up.
I know. You got to slow down here with all this cuteness because you're kind of making me want another baby. And I thought I got over that.
I thought you were done.
I am. But oh, they're just so cute.
Well, the solution is we just need to get together so you can just nom on this baby.
Yes. Let's do it.
But anyway, that's my BFP this week. Shauna, how about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So Elle already had a big week with her head injury and staples. Mm-hmm. 2 days after that, she lost her first tooth.
What?
Yes. All of a sudden, she was having a snack on the couch and all of a sudden she's like, Mama, I think my tooth feels wiggly. And I was like, no. I don't know why. Like, this is the perfect age for a kid to lose their first tooth. But I was just kind of like, no. And she's like, here, see. And I looked and like, it was all wiggly. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think you're going to lose your first tooth. And we were talking about it with her. She was feeling kind of nervous about it coming out. And Steve's like, don't worry, it'll take like 3 or 4 weeks. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't think so. Like, once it's wiggly, it comes out pretty fast. But I didn't want to scare her or anything. Sure enough, the next morning at school, she was at school and it popped out and like fell into her mask.
Oh, gross. That's like such a 2021 kid that problem to have. Oh my God.
Yes, I know. And her adult tooth was already growing in. It was like a several millimeters grown in already. And it kind of just pushed that tooth right out. And so my little girl is such a big kid now.
So, questions. What did you do with the tooth?
Well, her teacher put it in an envelope and sent it home with her so we could have it. And it is the tiniest, cutest little thing I've ever seen, right? Before, I think we've talked about it on the show, I've just been kind of horrified at the idea of lost teeth and like, ew, like, so gross. And people save them and all this stuff. But let me tell you, when it's your own kid... and they lose that tiny little tooth that was the first little tooth that came in when they were 7 months old or whatever. It was just adorable. So what we did was I had prepared for her first tooth like way in advance. Like I had bought a tooth pillow on Amazon and some like commemorative tooth fairy coins and stuff because I knew that they could pop out at any time and I wanted to like be prepared. And have something ready.
You're so prepared. It's like you in the books about important topics. Like, you're on top of this momming thing.
It's a lot to do with the parenting groups I'm in. Like, topics come up. This is an exact thing. Someone was like, oh, my kid lost their tooth. What do I do? Like, I don't have anything ready. And people were suggesting ideas. And instead of, like, forgetting about those ideas, I just, like, went and bought stuff immediately. And so that's why.
Perfect.
Yeah, so it was really cute. So we brought out the tooth, the big stuffed tooth that she could put her tooth in and told her all about it. And it came with like a little notepad so she could write a note to the tooth fairy and put it in with her little tooth. And she set that out. And then at night, the quote unquote tooth fairy came and took the tooth and put her coin in there. It's this really big, like gold heavy commemorative coin with a tooth fairy on it. It's very cool.
Did she get actual currency as well?
She did not. Not yet, because she's five and doesn't really need it. But I think we will at some point soon. And this tooth kit came with a little felt envelope to like save the teeth. And I did put the tooth in there because I really didn't know what else to do with it. Mm-hmm. I'm not fixing on like saving it forever and like having it on my nightstand, you know, in my 60s and 70s or anything like that. But I just don't know what to do with it. So that's where it is now. Yeah. It's up like in my closet in this little felt envelope.
Well, that sounds like a great way to handle it. And I will probably just copy you.
I'll actually share the links to the Tooth Fairy Pillow Kit and the fairy coins that I got on our website and our show notes. So if anyone else wants to get those ideas, you can check those out.
I've got a couple years, but it'll sneak up on me, I think.
Yes. Yes, it will. I can't believe it's already happened to my little baby. But anyway, she's very cute with her little space in her bottom teeth. It's very adorable. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me. And I think that's it for our show. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think you're right. Let's wrap it up.
Listeners, do you have any never have I evers that you want to share with us? You know we want to hear those. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join. Answer those two membership questions because that's how we know you're not a robot. And then you'll be sent straight through to the wonderful conversations we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate us and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show's produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.